Hello and welcome to the Financial Markets Insights regular podcast in conversation with, produced by the Realization Group. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Kaufman of Time to Give Network, a not-for-profit network that is transforming how the financial services ecosystem and community connect for the benefit of charitable causes. Essentially, Time to Give Network brings together financial services industry members with individuals with an interest to learn from them, but with a twist. These connections are purchased with charitable donations. That was a very high-level summary, but let's go straight over to you, Andrew. Welcome. Tell us about Time to Give Network. Where did it come from and how did you come to establish it?
It came from a point of need, really. I spent a good part of my career in business development and in sales and just saw the inefficiency in the process of access, the process of getting in front of the people I needed to get in front of, sharing the story that I want to share. It really is all born of that pain point. I think like all good ideas come from, it came from something that really resonated with me and the inefficiencies associated with it and the costs associated with it. So I wanted to come up with a better solution. And one day on a dog walk, I came up with an idea that over time morphed into what is now the Time to Give Network. It helped me in a number of ways. It helped me to address a number of things that I wanted to address. As mentioned, one of them was around access and trying to do my job and do it efficiently. But another one was about legacy, the legacy you leave, right? And I have two children and was thinking about, you know, what you do for a living and what you do outside of work and what you can do to give back. And that was one of the big drivers for why we've built Time to Give Network the way we did. You know, as you mentioned, it is a not-for-profit. Here in the UK, there is a structure called a community interest company, which is a big part of our USP. As a community interest company, we can't pay dividends, so there's no investors getting rich off of this. And also, there's this concept of an asset lock, which means that in our articles of incorporation, there's a charity named. And in the case of dissolution, all assets go to this charity. So nobody's building any equity. Nobody's getting rich off of this. In fact, at the end of the year, any excess revenue that we generate, we donate to charity. So that's a big part of it. We created Time to Give Network as a community interest company to show that every entity doesn't have to be commercial and that we can do this right and that we can deliver this utility to the world for free.
Can we talk actually a bit more? You've referenced to utility, and again, apologies, I might have muddied the waters in our introductions. So in essence, what does Time to Give Network do? What's its purpose?
So it is based on the Warren Buffett lunch auction. And I've always been a big fan of eBay. I loved how eBay allows things to realize their intrinsic value. Warren Buffett apparently is worth $17 million for a lunch, which was the last auction that he did on eBay of a lunch. He did it for 10 years and he raised over $50 million for a charity called Glide in San Francisco. And I always thought, well, everybody's time has intrinsic value. So if we can create a platform that productizes what Warren Buffett started and allow everybody to offer their time in return for a donation to their charity of choice, then we might really be on to something. So this technology platform that I mentioned is, depending on my mood, I sometimes call it the love child of LinkedIn and eBay. Love child just began because this is a not-for-profit venture, but also because it takes the profiles of LinkedIn. It takes the commercial aspect of eBay where it connects buyers and sellers. But in this case, those who are offering their time in the form of a meeting, that is what the offer is. And on the other side is those who seek that access for whatever reason. And Time to Give Network is a technology platform that brings them together, whether it's via an auction or via a buy it now model, which was really what we've been using just because it works much easier, where people just determine what value do they see for an hour of their time. They apply a value to that. If the other side of that equation feels like there's a compelling return on investment on that charitable donation, a connection can be made.
Evidently the auction versus buy it now is very much an eBay model. Is it also not a bit like an exchange, a traditional exchange, where you need buyers and sellers and liquidity? The liquidity in this case being, I guess, the value of the connection between time givers and time bidders. in terms of the charitable contribution or the charitable value that that generates.
Correct. Now, in my example, in a business development role, obviously, I just want to get in front of executives and understand their business, understand their pain points, establish some level of a relationship where I can add value. And if there is a good fit, then maybe it represents a commercial opportunity. But I always like to say that nobody went to Warren Buffett with a PowerPoint deck, right? Some people just want to get in front of other people to learn. Some people want to get in front of people just to network, because I want you to understand what I'm doing or what my business is all about, because as you're a well-connected person, and if we're on your radar, then that's great. It could be for a selfie. Really, the drivers for access are plentiful, but you're right. It was really originally built to address a burning need of how do I further our business development goals by getting introductions and time with the right people in order to be able to fill my pipeline at the end of the day.
But on this one, does it also then, can you infer from that that a time giver, there might be multiple bidders for that particular time giver's time? So it's a sort of one to many, many to one type model, rather than creating exclusive, you know, bilateral connections. Would that be true?
Absolutely. Again, if you take the eBay analogy, if I'm a busy executive and I decide that I'm going to make myself available for an hour a month to support a charity that I care a lot about, and I'm willing to take a meeting, a 1 hour face-to-face meeting, because we really do encourage face-to-face meetings in order to make it as impactful as possible, but I'm willing to set aside an hour of time in return to allow access for somebody. You're right. The hope is that there's multiple people who seek access to that person. So what we've done on this model, as opposed to the Warren Buffett model, because I never understood how Berkshire Hathaway was okay with Warren Buffett just meeting anybody, and how Warren Buffett himself was just okay with just meeting anybody regardless. So we've put rails around this in this productized model, where whoever is offering their time, they have the ability to say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I can't take this meeting because I have a compliance issue, or I don't want to waste your time because what I think you want is not necessarily what I can offer you. So the time giver has the ability to say thanks, but no thanks, or says, yes, I'm happy to take that meeting, which helps the time givers to get a much greater comfort level that this meeting is going to be impactful and within the confines of what they and their company are comfortable with.
That's another platform altogether. I was thinking now more of a dating site, then you can swipe left or right if you're a time giver.
No, if you put yourself up there and you accept a meeting, then that offer goes away. If you decide the next month you want to offer another hour, put yourself up again. So you could offer an unlimited number of meetings, or you could say, you know what, an hour a quarter is enough for me. I'll take one meeting a quarter and that's fine. Or some people are just a bit more keen to do everything they can and find that hour to raise as much money as they can for a charity that's near and dear to their heart.
I was going to ask you a separate question about time givers, but on this one, so the charity, so your time giver, Mr. X, Mrs. X, says, I will give up an hour of my time, and then they can nominate their charity of their choice, or would it be linked to their company's chosen charities? How does that piece of it work?
So it's going to depend on the company. If the company dictates that they need to choose just a charity partner, then, you know, they might have to comply with those rules of their organization. We haven't seen that yet. What we've seen is that companies are happy to allow their employees to pick any charity they want. The way we've constructed this is that we have an API connection to JustGiving. So any one of the 26 plus thousand charities here in the UK that are on the Just Giving network, any one of those is available to the time givers. So when a time giver creates an offer, all they really need to do is to determine the duration of the meeting, the location of the meeting, whether it's going to be in person or it's going to be via Zoom, or they're flexible in that regard, and pick the donation amount and pick the charity, and then they're off to the races.
So then from the time bidder's perspective, then as part of the accepting the offer, they then say, oh, I have made that donation. But there you go. I've clicked on the link and the donation is made. Is that correct?
The user experience for the time bidder, because we don't envision time bidders just going to a system and looking around. Again, similar to eBay, they all have saved searches, right? So maybe they only want to meet with compliance officers, or maybe they only want to meet with people in operations, or whatever their preferences are, whatever industry, whatever roles, they have the ability to set up saved searches. So when a time giver joins the platform and creates a new offer, the time bidder will be alerted that a new time giver offer is available and might be of interest to them. They follow the link into the platform. They see that time giver's profile, as well as all the other time givers that fit that profile. They then can look at that person's LinkedIn profile. They can look at the donation amount, and they can make a determine, is the ROI on that charitable donation compelling enough for me to send the indication of interest to express my interest? Once they send that indication of interest, if it's accepted, then they have the ability via Just Giving to make that donation. Both parties are alerted. Contact information is shared from both parties because, again, we want to make sure this meeting is as impactful as possible. So the time bidder now has the opportunity to potentially set an agenda or ask some questions in advance in order to maximize that value of that time so that everybody has the highest likelihood of coming out of that meeting as satisfied as possible with the experience.
But equally, unless that agreement to make the donation is, or the donation is made, then evidently the meeting wouldn't go ahead.
Correct. Yeah. Nothing happens until that donation is made. We are alerted via Just Giving that the donation has been successfully processed. Then and only then is information shared between the time bidder and the time giver, and the transaction is considered complete. We're just brokers at the end of the day. We're just trying to bring together parties that are willing to meet with each other. Once that connection is successfully made, they work together to determine the logistics of that meeting, the where and the when, and then they have that meeting. And then again, hopefully the time giver has a good enough experience that he or she puts themselves up on the platform again and make themselves available to yet another time bidder and raise even more money for their charity of choice.
I think the broker is a great analogy. I'm reminded of my EBS days where it was exactly that. Matching, bringing together parties that want to make a market or sell, and with parties that want to buy at the right price. I was going to ask, can you talk actually more specifically about any of your actual time givers? I mean, since launching, how many time givers do you have? Can you give any illustrations of any of them in particular?
Yeah, so the platform, I would say, went live in anger last summer, the summer of 24. And since then, we now have a community of over 200 participants on the platform, time givers and time bidders. We have no shortage of C-level folks. We have the CEO of Maseko. We have the chief transition officer at London and Capital. We have a senior executive at Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. We have the chief information officer and the chief operating officer at Aviva Investors. And these people have all been quite happy to join the platform in order to be able to give back. They see a lot of value in this. One of the common themes amongst them is they all have a charity that's very near and dear to their heart and something that they want to support. They feel comfortable with the model, and they know that some of them, interestingly, feel bad about ignoring all the inbound solicitations, right? You know, all executives get no shortage of inbound queries for their time. Most of them are just ignored. And some of them are like, you know what, maybe we can give some of these people a chance that I otherwise wouldn't meet with by referring them to the Time to Give network. So they can actually create their own market. If there's a subset of those individuals that are seeking their time, they can send them to us and we can then facilitate that match.
I love that idea. So actually, yes, thinking through that. So as you say, these people are going to be bombarded through other channels for people saying, we'd really want to talk to you, you know, or through LinkedIn messages or whatever. And this is actually quite elegant because it can say, well, I would talk to you, but actually you need to do it through this medium. So
exactly.
you need to go to Time to Give network, and then everybody wins, right?
Exactly. One of the recurring themes that when I talk to people is, a lot of people give away their time pro bono, and they're going to continue to do that, and they think that's great, and there's a time and a place for that. Some, who maybe are consultants, charge for their time. This offers that third option, right, where you don't want to do it pro bono. You don't necessarily want to charge them, but you don't want to just give away your time, and you say for some, it could be as little as 10 pounds, or it could be hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds, depending on who you are, obviously, but depending on what they want to do and the type of meeting as well. As a time giver, you could set one price of saying, you know, for £20 and for an hour, I'll do some mentorship, but for £200, I'll be a little bit more flexible and maybe take a pitch, or, you know, maybe offer my expertise. we've done everything we can for the time giver to control the entire process and be comfortable with the outcome and just, again, offer them a means to not only separate the wheat from the chaff in their inbox, but again, also support charity.
As you said, to be selective, to actually, rather than trying to wade through lots of things that look similar, to be discerning.
And on the other side, as a time bidder, again, coming from my experience as a salesperson who's sent no shortage of pithy emails and relevant LinkedIn messages and putting people in cadences that they just don't want to be a part of and frustrating myself and spending a lot of company money in my time, in my salary, going through this exercise, all to just be shouting into the void and not getting a response. For me to get a response from somebody offering their time to me in a timely fashion, right? So now I'm waiting weeks instead of months for that potential meeting. Now I'm potentially meeting in person as opposed to some half-hour Zoom call, but at least I can now make that informed decision. Maybe I could talk to my boss and say, you know what? I've been chasing this person. They're a high-value target. I'm able to get in front of this person for X hundreds of pounds. I think it would be really impactful and a great use of our charity budget or our marketing budget or both, really, because you're ticking the marketing budget, the charity budget, the sales budget, and just use that money efficiently and everybody wins. And then the vibe of that meeting, right? Once I turn up and meet with that person, and spend the first little while learning about why did they choose that charity and establishing a real relationship versus some relationship light half-hour Zoom call that isn't necessarily going to move the needle. That's of huge value.
It sounds like you're creating a conversation, as you say, in a community rather than just being pitched at, sold to. We're about to enter the conference circuit, right? It's that time of year in the UK where conferences start. And we all know from our own experience, you know, that you're going around and hearing lots of people pitching their stuff. And it's quite hard amidst all that noise to make discerning decisions. So this is actually a much more elegant way of saying, look, we've got a marketing budget, we've got a charity budget, we've got both of these things. Actually, if we expended X amounts, roughly speaking, not only can we reach one time giver, then there might be multiples of time givers.
Agreed.
Depending on what proposition you're selling, right?
And for us, we've taken it a step further, right? From a time bidder perspective, right? Because a time giver, it's quite clear. They have a bit of time. They want to give back. They have a charity they support. This is something that they can find time to do. And they might even learn something depending on who they pick, because maybe they're meeting with a consultant and there's a two-way information flow. But from a time bidder perspective, the biggest part of the value proposition I think that we offer is that time bidders now have the ability to proactively potentially get those meetings with time givers. When a time bidder signs up to the Time to Give Network, we'll ask them, well, who do you want to meet? We might not have all the people that you want to meet, but you know who you want to meet and you know who you haven't been able to get in front of. So let's try a different tack. Why don't you give us a list of all of those people you want to meet? We'll go out under this altruistic banner and tell that potential time giver that for no cost and no minimum time commitment, where they pick the day, the time, the location, the duration of the meeting, they pick the charity, they pick the amount, they pick the nature of the meeting. And, oh, by the way, the market's already preloaded for your services because one of our community has already indicated that they'd be happy to make a significant donation to your charity of choice if you could take 5 minutes and sign up to the platform. So we've gone out and we've been able to bring in executives on behalf of our time bidder community because, again, everybody's well served. We now have a new time giver. The time bidder, we can make it target rich for them, and everybody wins. We've even now seen time bidders doing their own outreach, telling those same executives that they are part of the Time to Give Network, this not-for-profit platform, and they also have a 5,000-pound charity budget, just to make a number up, and they say, we are happy to donate that 5,000 pounds to a wide variety of charities, and we'd be happy to use 300 pounds of that if you could just give us an hour of your time so we could learn a little bit more about your meeting. And again, rather than leading with some other, hey, we have a great solution and we'd love to talk to you, just lead with this and say, we respect your time. We're about giving back as well. Maybe this is something that might be of interest to you. I don't think it'll annoy anybody, and I think it'll certainly increase the odds that the time bidder will be able to get in front of that time giver and still derive, again, a compelling ROI on that charitable donation.
I love this. This is the gift that keeps on giving. So the givers are creating the opportunity with just saying to people, no, you need to join the initiative in order for me to give you this valuable time. There's a quid pro quo. And the bidders are doing the same. They're saying, actually, I really want to reach these people. Let me, through my networks, persuade them that this is the venue they should be met at, because everybody wins. So I guess this leads us nicely into, there's a little bit of corporate social responsibility that could be leveraged on both sides, right?
Yeah. One of our first major time givers, I met with her after her meeting, and she said that not 2 weeks before, she and the team went out and painted a wall. And she said, you know, they probably had to repaint that wall after we were done with it. And that's a big problem with volunteerism at organizations, is that it is a full day event. They're doing things that they don't feel like they're really adding value. Even conventional offering their time and trying to help a charity directly, if you're involved in time-based volunteering versus skills-based volunteering, it is just not going to be as impactful. So the uptake on volunteerism is not great. Another issue is that when people do volunteerism, a lot of time they don't record it, so that the company can't necessarily take advantage of the fact that they are, you know, their employees are giving back and doing good and enhancing the corporate social responsibility profile of the company. So just like it's free to time givers, it's also free to their employers. We're happy to provide to those employers who participated. How many hours did they give? How many hours did we as a company give? How many charities were well served? How much did we raise? All those sorts of hard statistics that will help them in their year-end report. And for us, it's great, because if they encourage their employees to participate, whether it's for the employee's specific charity of choice or if it's for the corporate charity partner or one of the corporate charity partners, again, they feel like they're getting more involved. They can tick a box, if you want to be crass about it, that they're just getting involved. They don't have to leave their office. Like I said, they're probably going to learn something, and we make it super easy for them to be able to do it. So rather than that 8-hour day of painting a wall, take those 8 hours, break those into 8 1-hour meetings at your office at your leisure. You'll raise 4 figures for charity no matter who you are, which again, we just believe is just that much more impactful and makes the story that much more compelling.
I think you're absolutely right. I remember a well-known UK bank some years ago, certainly they had a sort of that internal program where people were given charity vouchers, basically a pro rata amount that they could spend supporting a charity. But this seems like a much more productive way of doing it, rather than just, you know, who shouts the loudest gets the check. In this case, to your point, you can literally say that, you know, if you have 8 hours, if you were going to give a day of your time to do something, then break that day, fractionalize it. I quite like this. Fractionalize it. Do 8 single hours. And actually, from the charity's benefit perspective, it's probably potentially is far more valuable, actually.
Yeah, the costs associated with a lot of these things, the effort that it takes for a charity to run these things, you know, in the time to give network model, we don't charge the charities a dime, right? That's another big differentiator for us. This is just found money for charities where they have a brand new revenue stream of donations that they might not even necessarily know, you know, who was helping to raise money for them. Now, where we're hoping to take this even further, because the charities see this as a new means of fundraising, charities have no shortage of in-demand trustees and volunteers, and this gives them another tool to potentially offer their supporters a new way to raise potentially not insignificant amounts of money for the charity without having to reach into their pocket, which might also resonate with them. So yeah, we really feel like this, it's a win-win-win model, not even including the winner from a CSR perspective, from the time giver's perspective, but also from the time bidder's perspective, because now you're just that much more charitable than you were before. So now your company is donating a lot of money to charity. But again, now, you know, rather than just donating it, you're getting something in return. And as we know, being in this business, people have to be driven to want to participate. This is not an altruistic exercise. People are benefiting. All parties need to benefit or the whole model falls over. But thankfully, we've been able to figure out a way by building in the controls and the messaging and how we've built this, that we really do believe that we've cracked the code and that there's no losers. And again, doing this as a not-for-profit where we're just giving this utility to the world, the nicest part about this at the end of the year is that all the charities that raise donations via the platform over the course of the year get a pro-rata distribution of time to give networks profits, right? So the charities not only get the money at that time, but they get a bigger piece of the year-end pie. And those numbers could be significant, right? So our commercial model, just to be in the interest of transparency, is, again, it's free for time givers. It's free for the charities. From a time bidder perspective, they pay a seat license in order to gain access to the platform, which the time givers like, that it's not just open to retail and people have a bit of skin in the game. So it's £150 for an annual seat license, again, going to a not-for-profit. And then we also charge a 10% service charge. So if a COO goes for a £300 donation, then that £300 goes to charity. Time to Give Network charges 10%. So the time bidder pays £30 to Time to Give Network. So it's £330 all in to the buyer. But some of those numbers could be chunky because, as we'll talk about in a bit, it's not just about, you know, asset management. This model is universal. And some of those 10% fees, depending on who we're able to attract to the platform, could be quite chunky.
Very timely. Nice segue.
Thanks so much, Andrew. That really is interesting. In our next conversation, part two, let's talk a bit more about what's next for the Time to Give Network, specifically in terms of expanding into new target segments and potential geographies. We'll be back soon.